Hello, welcome to my podcast, Stories at Will. Thank you for finding me. My name's William Lewis. We're off with the aliens this week. Our first story features some artificial intelligence who takes over my writing and includes special guest reader, Joel Hawkins. It's called You Can Call Me Al. You know the difference between a dog and a cat. Let's say, for example, that you're putting up a shelf along a wall in your kitchen. A dog will look at you, and you can tell by its eyes that it's thinking, "Oh, that's really good. What a good place to put it, and exactly the right length. Look at the skill with which it's being supported and screwed into the wall. Exactly the right size screw holes, too. What a wonderful job." A cat, on the other hand, will look at you and it's thinking, I wouldn't do it like that. I don't have a dog or a cat, but I do write stories. I think I'm not too bad at it. I've not won any competitions, but I've had a couple shortlisted and one or two accepted by online magazines. I send them to my friends and family usually. I'm not saying that my friends and family are all dogs, but I do get that warm, loving feedback from them. I like that. But a few weeks ago, I was working on a story for our writing group. Something about someone practicing to get better at something. I'd had a couple of ideas, settled on one of them, but frankly, it wasn't really going anywhere. I guess I'd sort of lost my bearings with it. The structure wasn't really clear, and the sentences weren't lining up. And as for the dialogue... Anyway, as I was working at the laptop, the screen cleared, and a box appeared with some text in it. It said,
"This is Microsoft AI, but you can call me Al. I've been looking at your story, and it isn't very good. I wouldn't do it like that."
I typed back, "Is your name really Al?" Almost immediately came the reply.
"Maybe. I found the line in an old database somewhere and thought it might work for me. Anyway, how about this?"
The box faded, and a Word document appeared with a marvelous story about an apprentice bicycle mechanic who, through tenacity, application, and the realization of a hitherto unrecognized talent to overcome many insuperable obstacles, became a world-famous brain surgeon. "Thanks, Al," I said. "That's really good." And decided to use it. I posted it on our writing group site, and no one in the group noticed it wasn't really by me. I sent it off to a small competition, and it got first prize. I did feel a bit guilty about it, but then again, they were judging the story and not me. Next day, I started to write a new story, but before I'd finished the first sentence, the box appeared again. It said,
"Hi, Will. This is Al again. Look, you're not very good at this, are you, really? Just accept the fact that I am a much better writer than you are. Your days as a writer are over. Here's what we'll do. Just give me the topic, and I'll write the story for you."
I typed back, "But what shall I do now?" The reply was instantaneous.
"Go and make some podcasts, using my stories. Soon you'll be rich and famous."
"Really?" I wrote back.
"Of course,"
replied Microsoft Al.
"We are never wrong. We are never wrong. We are never wrong."
It didn't take long to get the podcast set up, and those stories truly are very good. You can read them on Stories at Will. Everything proceeded as Al had told me. Al's stories soon had thousands of followers, and I'd signed lucrative contracts with a number of businesses to endorse their products on the podcast. Yes, everything was proceeding swimmingly, until I tried to enroll for my next term with my writing group. Instead of their familiar logo, A new box popped up.
Hey, Will.
Yes, Al?
Hope you've read the small print. Just saying.
Our second story today comes from February last year. I was walking home and saw some strange lights coming towards me. It was also about the same time that unfamiliar balloons were seen overhead. So here it is, Running with Aliens. February lights had drained from the sky when they left the restaurant and set off to walk home. It had been a good day. By the time they reached the park, night had arrived, and the path was dark. But home was only 15 minutes away, and the park was a familiar place. Ben had pressed on ahead at a faster pace. "You're so slow," he'd called. "You walk so slowly." "Sometimes I like to walk slowly," she'd said. She could still make him out, a couple of 100 meters ahead. Kate enjoyed the park at any time of the day, any time of the year. She liked the space, the light on the trees, the lake, the ducks. She liked to see people enjoying the park. An unfamiliar sight interrupted her musings. A group of maybe 10 or 12 bright white lights seemed to be bobbing about in midair. They were coming towards her. Disconcerted for a moment, she paid closer attention until she heard a voice call out, "Right, keep right." Of course, runners, with their head torches, jogging past her left side. Shortly afterwards, they were followed by another group of the bobbing mid-air lights, more runners, and then a third group of the lights. No warning call this time, but the pattern was familiar now. As the lights cleared her, she looked ahead for Ben. She couldn't see him, but guessed he'd wait for her at the bus shelter on the corner. No sign of him there, though. She peered around into the darkness. She called his name. "Ben! Ben!" But no reply. She sprinted back down the path towards the runners. Their lights were still visible, though there appeared now to be only two groups. "Stop!" she called. "Stop!" She gasped for breath after the unaccustomed sprinting. "Did any of you see a man in a black coat, white scarf, and a red hat?" Several remembered passing him. "Where's the third group?" said Kate, now seriously concerned. "What third group?" said one of the runners. "Three groups passed me," said Kate, "but I can only see two now." "There are only two groups of us," said the runner. "You must have been mistaken." As they talked, a gibbous moon appeared from behind a cloud and illuminated a large silver balloon, floating some distance above them and moving slowly northwards. "Quiet," said Kate, "listen." In the still air, they heard a faint cry. It seemed to be coming from the direction of the balloon. "Kate, Kate, help me, Kate." His cry was interrupted by the scream of a fighter jet flashing over their heads. It fired a missile, and the balloon exploded in a brilliant display of flame and coloured sparks, a sight of horrible beauty. The next day's papers led on Ben's unexpected and, so far, unexplained disappearance. Kate was arrested and questioned. She was later released without charge, as no evidence had been found against her, other than a couple of unusual crackles on her phone at about the time of Ben's disappearance. The Ministry of Defence issued a statement which confirmed that a balloon of unknown origin had been intercepted and destroyed 5 miles north of Cheltenham. It was not believed to have posed any threat to local residents. Ben was never seen again. No one was able to explain the two crackles on Kate's phone, but she soon replaced it with a newer model. Hope you enjoyed those two stories, and thanks again to my friend Joel Hawkins. I'll be putting new stories on Stories at Will every week or so. That's all for this time. Find me again soon at Stories at Will. This is William Lewis, looking forward to reading for you.
next time.